All right. Anyway, good to be here once again. Hope you enjoyed the Bible quiz. Every now and then, one of the guys at work, they'll pop up with one of these Bible quizzes in the paper that's actually a Bible quiz. And whenever that happens, he always cuts it out and gives it to me, leaves it on my desk or hands it to me, and I get the joy of taking it. And normally, I do pretty well. Every once in a while, it stumps me, but normally, I do okay. So. So Sunday morning I preached a message on getting out of the ship, right? Peter walking on the water. And maybe you remember, maybe you don't, I don't know. But while I was preparing the message, I remember thinking, you know, the Lord sure does have a sense of humor. And I think on occasion he enjoys a good practical joke. I mean, you think about it, here are the disciples at 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm just guessing a little bit here, but they're probably wet, cold, tired in that boat. They're afraid. And the Lord doesn't just make himself known in a calming, comforting sort of way. No, he decides to walk across the lakes with the waves swelling and everything. I imagine he's probably glowing. Probably this is a white glow going across the top of the waves. I mean, they thought it was a spirit, right? So in my mind, I don't know if it's the case, but I'm just envisioning, you know, this white glow going across the waves. And I'm wondering to myself, so does he like walk on top of a wave as it's going across the lake? And so they see him? Or does he like walk up a wave, wave at him, hi, and then down the wave, whoop, and then up again, hi, and then down again, you know, peekaboo kind of a thing. I don't know how that happens. But you got to admit, it's kind of a funny sight when you try to picture in your head. You know, you read the story of Balaam back in Numbers. I better hurry, so we won't go back to Numbers. But Numbers 22, you read the story of Balaam. And Balaam gets there. Well, go back to Numbers 22 very quick, because this is just... I forgot where Numbers was. Okay. So take a look down in Numbers chapter 22. Take a look down around verse 21. Balaam rose up in the morning, saddled his ass, and went on with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way of for an adversary against him. Now he was riding up on his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. Balaam smote the ass and turned her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee, that thou smitest me these three times? And this is what gets me. And Balaam said unto the ass, because thou hast mocked me, I would there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill thee. And the ass said unto Balaam, am I not thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee? And he said, nay. So I'm wondering, when this is going on, right? This whole thing starts happening. This donkey starts talking to Balaam, and he starts carrying on this conversation in the way. Did it ever occur to him he was talking to a donkey? I mean, he's so angry, he probably doesn't even realize what he's doing. It just... you know, the words are coming out of his mouth. I think that's pretty funny. I wonder if he thought right about that time, what am I doing? But the Lord does have a really good sense of humor. Now, I don't know if any of you were at the meeting. I can't remember if it was the first or second night. Brother Gipp was down in Hastings. But he was talking about reading your Bible, and he made a comment. He said, yes, even the names in Chronicles. Any of you remember that? He said, yes, even read the names in Chronicles. And then he said, and read them out loud. And everybody's going, you know, why? And he goes, you owe the Lord a good laugh. So I can just, I can just imagine the Lord sitting up there and you're trying to read this name, Billy Mayor Halashazbar. He's got to be up there laughing at you, right? So now every time I get to a word in the Bible that I don't know how to pronounce and I go through it, I remember what Brother Gipps said. It's never going to go away. So I was working on last Sunday's message, a simple phrase caught my attention, and that's what I'm going to go over here tonight. It shouldn't be too awful long. It's not real complicated, but it did catch my attention, and I thought, those are some pretty good words. And that phrase was just simply this. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9, if you will. Matthew chapter 9. And you guys all know the verse in Proverbs 15, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow the heart of the spirit is broken. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart doth good like a medicine. So I was reading through in the account of course, Peter and the disciples on the ship, and the Lord says in the middle of that, his speech to them, after, they're afraid, he says to them, he says something very profound. He says, be of good cheer. Just simply be a good cheer. And as I was getting the message ready, it kind of struck me last time. I thought, well, that's kind of neat. So I, set that aside for just a second, finished up for last weekend, and went back to it. So I pulled up all the places where the Bible says be of good cheer. And there were seven places where the Bible says be of good cheer. And two of them were basically relaying the same story, and that is the disciples that we talked about on Sunday. But if you take a look in Matthew chapter 9, take a look at verse 1. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Here we are, Christians in 2014 in America, and we go through all kinds of trials and things happen in life. And you know what? Every now and then, you just got to step back and take a look at things and realize the Lord said, be of good cheer. And the first reason you can be of good cheer is just because your sins are forgiven. What a blessing that is. What a blessing that is to know that, hey, listen, no matter how bad you've been, no matter what kind of things you have in your past, no matter what kind of things happen in the future, listen, I can look back and I can forget all that stuff. And every now and then I can just sit back and just kind of take comfort in the fact that my sins have been forgiven. You know what that means? We prayed for lost people tonight, right? And what that means, those folks, if they were to die, they would wind up in hell, burning in eternity in a lake of fire forever and ever and ever. And brethren, we don't have to go there. What a blessing that is. What a blessing that is. The Lord goes in the midst of the big storm with Peter and the disciples walking on the water, and he looks over at them and he says, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Here in this passage, this man has been sick of the palsy, and he says to him, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. Man, if you're saved here tonight, if you've been born again, listen, nothing can be that bad. You know what? Nothing in this life can be anywhere near as bad as what you were before you got saved. What a blessing. What a blessing. The last words of Samuel Rutherford. He's a Scotch Presbyterian, and he was born in 1600 and he died in 1661. He was a commissioner to the Westminster General Assembly in 1643 and was for some time the principal of St. Andrew's College. When on his deathbed, he was summoned to appear before Parliament for trial for having preached liberty and religion. Here's a guy who is a preacher on his deathbed, and he gets a summons from the government, basically getting ready to throw him in jail because he was preaching about freedom and religion. And he sent word with a messenger to tell the Parliament this, that I have received a summons to a higher bar. I must needs answer that first. And when the day your name shall come, I shall be where few of you shall enter. Yes! That's awesome! That's awesome. So here's a saint of God lying on his deathbed, summoned to go before the government. And you know what his whole take on the matter is? Hey, listen, you know what? You guys aren't even worth worried about. I've got a higher calling in the Lord Jesus Christ. My sins are forgiven. I'm on my way to heaven. And I know very well that when you guys make it past that veil, you probably won't even be able to come into where I'm at. Listen, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. No matter what you're going through, no matter what's been going on in life, no matter how things, you know, appear to be bad, listen, my sins are forgiven me. I mean, how often do you just sit back and think about it? You ever sit back and think about what the alternative would be in case you just, if by some chance you hadn't gotten saved? Man, folks, the Christian life is a blessing. Even in the midst of the storm, even in the midst of the boat rocking and the waves of being afraid, you know, the Lord just takes time out to say, be of good cheer. A guy's sitting on the bed, sick with the palsy. Who knows how long he's had it? I mean, the Lord healed all kinds of people in, you know, various amounts of time. And he walks up to him, this guy laying here on the bed, you know, I mean, whatever strange physical problems. And he says to him, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. What a blessing, man. It's good to be a Christian. It's good. I remember Brother Bud, Darling. I remember the story. Some of you have heard it. Maybe some of you haven't. But Brother Darling's dad, when he first started coming to church, was lost. And Brother Stevens was, I mean, preaching his heart out trying to get to Bud. I mean, everything. Explaining salvation, going through the whole path, just trying to get Bud to understand and actually break down and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior. And Brother Stevens, at one of the sermons, just, I mean, preached everything he had, gave an invitation, and nothing. Just nothing. And then Brother comes back for evening service that night, and he's sitting around talking to Kyle after service is over, and he says to Kyle, oh, yeah, I've been meaning to ask you, how do you get saved, by the way? I mean, Lord's got a sense of humor, man. Lord's got a sense of humor. I think of my son-in-law, Ian. And Ian, you guys all know him and his story and everything, but Ian, I sat there and watched him, I mean, literally for the space of about 2 years, struggle with Christianity. He's born and raised Catholic, but all the other black belts at the school were Christians. So every time he'd go out with them, and that's the crowd he hung out with, you know, I mean, one of them is Pentecostal, a couple of them are Pentecostals, and, you know, some different churches and stuff, but all of them were Christians, and every time he'd go out, the subject of God and salvation would come up, and he would just get hammered. He'd wind up turning around and walking away. And I watched him struggle with this for a couple of years in the process. And, of course, you know, it started getting a little hotter and a little heavier, and the conviction was really growing, and I saw him struggling with it. And day in and day out, and him and I had conversations, him and Teresa had conversations, many, many, many conversations about it. And he was fighting and fighting and fighting. And he finally got to the place where it all kind of clicked and made sense one Sunday morning, and he was going to get saved. He tells us this afterwards. He was going to get saved. Many, some of you know this already, but he came in, he sits down, and he's waiting for the sermon to be over and waiting for Kyle to give an invitation so he could walk the aisle. And that morning, Kyle doesn't give an invitation. And he turned around and walked out, and then he's complaining after church, I didn't know what to do. And, of course, he wound up getting saved, but, man, the Lord's gracious. The Lord's so funny. You know what he said? He said, be of good cheer. I mean, your sins are forgiven. You see people around you go through this stuff, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. I better hurry. It's getting really late. I got more points. Number two, be a good cheer. Why? Because your sins are forgiven. Why? Because you don't have to be afraid. I'll just hit this one real briefly because we just talked about it on Sunday. But in Mark 6, it says, for they all saw him and were troubled, and immediately he talked with them and saith unto them, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. Be not afraid. Why should you be of good cheer? I tell you why. Because no matter what's going on, no matter how bad things get out there, you know what? You don't have to be afraid. The Lord Jesus Christ has got you safely in the palm of His hand. And you know what? He's there, even when you're in the boat and everything is going terrible according to what you think, the Lord Jesus Christ is just sitting right over there. He knows you're in the palm of His hand. And if anything goes wrong, he's just going to go, oh, come over here. I got you. You're okay. And then he'll let you enjoy the view for a while. And, you know, if anything goes wrong, you start to fall down, he'll just, oh, you're okay. Be of good cheer. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. You know, fear is common, is a common emotion that we have to struggle with. I mean, there's a whole vocabulary talking about fear. I mean, there's acrophobia, right? Fear of heights. There's aquaphobia, fear of water. There's anacrophobia. My daughter has that. Fear of spiders. there's cacophobia. That was my favorite. Fear of ugliness. I don't know what that is. ergophobia. I've got that one. Fear of work. there's papophobia, fear of the Pope. There may be something to that one. It's pretty. Panophobia, fear of everything. There's a whole list of phobias that you can have. People can be afraid of just about anything you can come up with. I remember one of my favorite karate, all-time favorite karate movies, Remo Williams, and he's taking this dude. Of course, the master's taking the student up on the top of the building, and there's this little ledge on the top of the building, and he jumps up on the ledge, and he goes running on this ledge, and he looks back at Remo, the student, and the student's back there, and you can tell he's terrified of heights. You know, he's, and Chun comes running back, he's a little Korean dude, right? You got to get the Korean thing going on. And he goes, you are afraid. He's got the glasses too, really work good. You are afraid. Fear is an emotion. You feel hot, you feel cold, you feel afraid. Fear cannot kill you. Come, run. He runs off. I love that line. That was great. Let's see here. You know, every now and then something comes up that's just kind of funny, but let's see. J.T. Lyons, a missionary pilot with the Baptist Missions in Liberia in the late 1960s, had just coasted his bright red Piper Super Cub to a stop in a town. Nearby, a wild bull saw the red airplane and charged towards it. Missionary Lyons was not about to have the Lord's property damaged by a rampaging bull. Fearlessly, he leaped from the pilot seat, rushed between the airplane and the animal, raised his fists, and prepared to defend his plane barehanded. The startled animal stopped, pawed the ground, lowered his head for the final charge. The defiant Baptist missionary, his determination blazing in his eyes, stood his ground. The two antagonists stared at each other for what seemed like an eternity. Then the buffalo bull snorted, turned around, and walked off. That's awesome. That's awesome. The Lord says to the disciples in the boat, you know, be of good cheer. Be not afraid. Be of good cheer. Why? Because you don't have to be afraid. I mean, your sins are forgiven, and you don't have to be afraid. I mean, what's the worst that can happen? Proverbs 3 says, the Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth, by understanding he hath established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in the way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Man, you know what being a Christian is? Be of good cheer, because you don't have to be afraid. What a blessing that is. I'm not saying you should go get on top of the building and run on the, you know. but when that thing attacks you, when you're worried about it, just remember, you don't need to worry about it. Easier said than done, I know. I understand that. We're all there. We're human. I mean, we struggle with it. But man, we're saved. And we don't have to worry about being afraid. All right, number three. I'm only halfway done. Number three, take a look at John chapter 16. John chapter 16. John is after Luke. Let me see if I can find it. Hold on. There we go. John chapter 16. Let's run down to about verse 27, I think, is where we want to pick up. For the Father himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world. Again, I leave the world and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh, yea, is now come, that ye shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. All right, you know what the third thing that we can be glad for? And that is just simply this. The Lord Jesus Christ has overcome the world. I mean, what a great thing that is. What a great thing that is that, listen, He fought that battle for me. You know what? When I got saved, He took all of His victories and He gave them to me. And no matter what happens, no matter how my ups and downs happen to be in this life, no matter what, you know, no matter what goes on, in the end, I'm going to be standing there next to the Lord Jesus Christ on the winning team going, Ha! Yeah, we won! Yeah! Amen? What a blessing. What a blessing. You don't have to be of good cheer. Jesus Christ has overcome the world. Listen, we battle things in this Christian life. I know that. But Jesus Christ has overcome all those things for us. I got a kick out of this story here. And this is kind of the way it is. And everybody knows this. It's called a private fight. The time was November 1938. The place was Shanghai, China. To this day, no one knows what started it, but two Marines were hammering away at each other right out in public. Figures. That's what they do best, right? Strangely, when one man could take no more and went down, the other would stop fighting, help him up, then they'd get back to fighting. That's like Marines. Repeating the process over and over. Before long, a group of sailors came by, watched for a while, and decided it was time for the fight to end. It was a mistake. The two jarheads turned on the would-be peacemakers, and soon the sailors were down on the ground and all around them. The little issue taken care of, the two persistent Marines turned their attention back to each other. They had definitely decided to fight on. Hey, man, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. I mean, yeah, we got battles that we fight. Yeah, there's some certain things that we fight. And, you know, occasionally, you know, we get to fighting ourselves a lot, each other sometimes, unfortunately. But in the end, nobody messes with us. It's that whole sibling thing, right? I can beat my brother up, but you can't. You can't touch him. I mean, what a blessing. Listen, what a blessing to know that, I mean, when you're in the middle of a battle, when you got something going on and there's, you know, maybe you're battling yourself, maybe you're battling somebody else. You know, you got all that thing, that strife and fighting and everything going on. Listen, it's a blessing to know it's just a little family feud. It'll pass. And you know what? Nobody from the outside is coming in to take over. I mean, we're saved. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer because Jesus Christ has already fought those battles. He's overcome the world for you. Listen, you don't have to worry. You don't have to worry about ultimately, the world winning. I mean, it may get a leg up on you every now and then, and you may falter some, and I understand that, and, you know, we fight that all that we can. But listen, in the end, the world is a loser. Jesus Christ is the winner. I mean, be of good cheer. That's a good thing to hear. That's a good thing to rest in. That's a good thing to my thoughts, my motives, my flesh, my attitude, my weakness, my failures, all that stuff, I may have trouble with, and I may lose the battles on occasionally, but in the end, the Lord Jesus Christ has overcome the world. What a blessing. You don't have to fight with that enemy. You don't have to worry about that enemy. Listen, be of good cheer because Jesus Christ has overcome the world. Turn, if you will, to Acts chapter 23. Next time this phrase shows up, Acts 23. Be of good cheer. Why? Well, Paul found out here. Acts chapter 3, we'll start with verse 1. And Paul earnestly, just to get context here, earnestly beholding the council said, Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day. And the high priest Ananias commanded them that they should that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Then Paul said unto him, God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for thou sittest thou to judge me after the law, and condemnest me to be smitten contrary to the law? And they that stood by said, revilest thou God's high priest? Then said Paul, oh, I wist not, brethren, that he was the high priest, for it is written, thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people. But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other part Pharisees, he cried out in the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, the son of a Pharisee. Of the hope of the resurrection of the dead am I called into question. The Lord's got a good sense of humor. So Paul's sitting there and, you know, before the high priest and the council, and, you know, he's kind of stuck. And what does he do? You know, he gets those guys to start fighting each other. And they start battling back and forth. And I imagine Paul, you know, just kind of sitting back watching those guys going. He knew what he was doing. He knew exactly what he was doing. What a blessing. That had to have been just a little moment of humor for Paul from the Lord. Right? The Lord had to say, hey, Paul, watch this. I'll get those guys going. What a blessing. So go down to verse 10. You know the context here. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, Paul, for thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness of me also in Rome. Be of good cheer. Why? Because you know what? You get to go out and witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You get to go out and witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Be of good cheer, because for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness of me in Rome. Listen, be of good cheer, because, listen, you get to go out and witness, and sometimes it's kind of comical. I mean, it's a serious matter, but sometimes there's just comedy in it. You go out and you witness to somebody, and you're dealing with them, and they get so worked up. Right, Maureen? Right? I mean, they get themselves in a tizzy. It's like, you know, their undies get all in a bunch. I don't know if that's a good example here, but it's just, they go crazy. And I think of Paul sitting back there going, oh, I got Pharisees over here, I got Sadducees over here. And the Lord gives him this idea. Hey, Paul, say that. Oh, yeah. And he gets them going. He gets them riled up. Listen, be of good cheer, because you get to go out and you get to witness to people. Not the fact that they get in a tizzy. But you know what? The fact that they get in a tizzy means something's happening in their heart. What a blessing. And the difference is, I mean, you know, we joke about them getting in a tizzy. We don't necessarily want to see them pound on each other and fight and that kind of stuff. But somebody is able to get to their heart because of something that you said. The Lord in heaven is able to use you like he did Paul, to get under the skin of some sinner and deal with his soul and deal with his heart about eternity. What a blessing that is. I mean, the God that created the universe uses you, me, to do that. Be of good cheer. That's a great thing. I mean, you know, when life gets really bad and when things seem like they're falling apart all around you and they're just not going well, remember, the God that created this whole mess that we're looking at has just decided on several occasions to use a sinner like me to do something with somebody else. Man, that ought to help cheer you up. What a blessing. What a blessing. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer, because for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness of me also in Rome. One other side point to that. Here we go. This one's called Never Too Old. Levi Smith was a lumberjack in Washington State until he was 63 years old. He also pastored a little church. Then, at 63, the determined old Christian went to Japan as a missionary. He was there for 33 years. At 96, he came home. But after spending 1 year back in the United States, he said, God's not through with me yet in Japan. And at age 97, he returned to Japan. He died there at age 98. What a blessing. I mean, be of good cheer because the Lord can use you even if you're 97 years old or older. Isn't that a blessing? I mean, you know, okay, so maybe we, you know, can't bench press 200 pounds anymore. You know, maybe we can never bench press 200 pounds. I don't know. You're up at 250, aren't you? Whatever the case may be, listen, no matter where you're at, I mean, I remember, you know, Helen Cedar lying in the nursing home. She was 99? And she finally, you know, went down with help from some of the staff there, broke her hip and was unable to get out of bed. She'd been a missionary in Ecuador, you know, years and years ago, and now here she is in a nursing home. And you walk into that room, and this lady just, I mean, puts you under conviction. It makes you feel about this tall. And here she is bedridden at 99 years old. And she's talking about waking up in the morning and just thanking God because her eyes still see. And that she can look over at the door in the nursing home and see the grain, the wood grain pattern in the door, and finds beauty in that. And she's just thanking the Lord that she's still able to see that wood grain in the door. And different colors and different things like that. And listen, you're never too old. You know, you're never too old. Listen, be of good cheer. No matter how old, no matter how decrepit we get, no matter where you're at in life, listen, the Lord can always take you, put you in the path of a sinner, and use you to get under their skin to deal with their heart. That's something to be cheerful about. Amen? Be of good cheer, the Lord says. Because you get a chance to witness. Take a look at Acts 27. Acts 27, the next occasion that this phrase shows up. And this is, again, I won't go too long here, but basically Paul's going through and getting ready to go through his big shipwreck account here in Acts 27. And down in verse 22, it says this. It says, and now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, for thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. I'll tell you what. I'll tell you another good reason we can be of good cheer, is because, you know what? In the end, there's going to be no loss of life among us. I mean, the body may go into the ground, right? But in the grand scheme of things, brethren, we're all living. In the grand scheme of things, even when the body goes in the ground, we're going to wind up in heaven. We're going to be alive forevermore. We're going to be up there with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, we're going to be alive. You know what? Those of us that are saved, you know, you can be of good cheer because no matter how terrible things get down here, no matter how bad things seem to be down here, no matter how bad you really just want to get out of here, you know what? In the end, there's no loss of life among you if you're saved here tonight. What a blessing. You look around at all these people, right? All of them that are saved. You look around and you go, hey, in the end, none of them are going to die. I mean, the body may, you know, that shell just may have to be put aside on the shelf for a little while, till the Lord gathers up all those molecules and puts them back together, or however He's going to do it. But in the end, brethren, be of good cheer because we got a lot of living left to do. What a blessing that is. Amen? And it doesn't matter how bad things get. It's only temporary down here. Be of good cheer. There should be no loss of life. I probably read this one before, and I was talking to Jacob about it. I told him this is my favorite one. But it's called Tug of War with Death. So Scott Evans, a deep sea diver, had a terrifying brush with death at 70 feet below the waters off Cape Cod in Alaska. Off a cape in Alaska. Evans was looking for an anchor that had been separated from a fishing trap during a storm earlier that day. On the surface, three men, Virgil Buford and two helpers, were supplying Evans, supplying his diving rig with life-giving air. Suddenly, over the radio, they heard Evans scream. Now, this is a, you know, the guy in the suit, right? The big suits, you've seen the big hats, and he's down there, and he's got the air hose and the communication line, by the way, going up to the surface, and there's an air pump up there supplying him air for his suit while he's down underwater. And they've got comm through that. So over the radio, they heard Evan scream. A giant octopus had wrapped his tentacles around one of his legs. Evan speared the creature, and the fight was on. In the melee, he lost his grip on the spear. As Evan screamed in panic, the men on the surface took up the slack on his safety rope, trying to bring him back to the surface, but to no avail. They couldn't pull him up. The creature had him. His only hope was for another man to dive down and kill the beast. But that was impossible. Scott was wearing the only diving suit they had. He was trapped and on his own. Scott was finally calmed by the voices of his friends, but his situation was hopeless. The octopus continued to engulf him. As he resisted, minutes turned into an hour. An hour turned into two, and then three. 3 hours. Meanwhile, the tiny ship supplying Evan's air was slowly burning up its gasoline supply. When the motor ran out of gas, Evans would run out of air, then the issue would be decided. Realizing his fate, Scott made a decision. He told the men on the surface to fire up the boat, crank the throttle open, and pull him free. The men feared they would pull his leg off. "Start pulling!" he yelled. "You'll get most of me!" The men followed his instructions. The engine growled. The rope tightened. Nothing. More gas. Suddenly the men saw the rope slacken. And Evans bobbed to the surface with the octopus positioned on his helmet, his tentacles wrapped around his body. Buford grabbed a pike and drove it into the creature's head. It released his grip and slid into the water. The men dragged Evans back on board, where he breathed his first breath of fresh air in 3 hours, having won his deadly tug of war. Hey, listen, you know how terrifying that is? It has to be. I mean, this octopus grabbing you down there. 3 hours you're down there and you can't get rid of this thing? And that's what life gets like sometimes. That's what life gets like sometimes. And that battle, you know, the Lord waits till the fourth watch before he decides to come walking on the water, right? So down there for 3 hours, but you know what? No loss of life. And in the end, brethren, be of good cheer, because that's what we got in store for us. No loss of life. You may have to struggle with the octopus underwater at 70 feet for 3 hours, but in the end, no loss of life. My wife's never going to go scuba diving with me again. We're in, for our 30th anniversary, I think I told you guys, we wanted to do this really our whole lives, so I took her to, was able to take her to Hawaii for a couple days, and we went scuba diving. What does she ask to do? She tells the dive master, the leader, "I want to see an octopus." So we swam around trying to look for one. Fortunately, they were smaller. It was small, and tucked in under a rock, you couldn't see much of it. Brethren, be of good cheer, because in the end, there's no loss of life. You know the verse, 1 Corinthians 15:55, "Oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory?" And finally, one more. Take a look at Acts 27, verse 25. And Paul says this. He says, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God." That's a good place to start. "That it shall be even as it was told me." Brethren, you know what? Be of good cheer, as I believe God, that it shall be even if it as it was told me. You know, I titled this last point just simply, "The half cannot be fancied." You know, we read all those stories about heaven. You read about the streets of gold, and you know, you get all the jokes that the guy hoarded all the gold and finally took it to heaven with him, and he got up to the gates, and Peter looks at him and says, "Oh, what do you got in the suitcase?" He's got all his gold, and he yells over at John the Baptist. "Hey, John, somebody brought up some more pavement." you know what you can, I mean, you can be of good cheer. Brethren, as good as you think it's going to be better. The best you can possibly imagine, it's going to be far better when we actually get there. I mean, what a joy that is. What a joy that is. Again, you know, this world gets crazy. Yeah, I know. It gets nuts and things happen and it seems like things pile on and the stress level goes up to about here and it seems like it's more than you can bear. Listen, when you're underwater and you got that air supply thing that you're really, really, really worried about and you know, something happens, that gets your attention really quick. 3 hours? Fighting an octopus underwater? That's nuts. But all that going on, everything that had to go on through your mind, you notice, I don't know if you guys caught it or not, but it said the people on the surface, once they finally got him calmed down enough to talk on the intercom. I mean, that's just terror. Just sheer, utter terror. And you go through all that, for whatever reason, whatever's happening in life, you go through all that, and then you find yourself thinking about it, and you realize, no matter how bad it gets, I can't even imagine how good it's going to be when the Lord finally gets us out of here. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. The Lord is good, man. You're saved here tonight. You're Christians. You know, like I said, there's 7 times in the Bible, 6 different categories there. The Lord says, be of good cheer. And your sins are forgiven. Amen? There'll be no loss of life in the ship. Listen, the half cannot be fancied. And all the other points I mentioned, hope you wrote them down. Be of good cheer, brother. Amen? What a blessing. Let's bow for a word of prayer. And our Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for a chance to be here on a Wednesday night. Lord, it's always a blessing to just sit back with the saints and just kind of sit back and for a little bit, take a few moments and realize just what it is we have in our Savior. Lord, we certainly thank you for taking care of us. Lord, you've saved us from such a terrible fate. You've given us hope. You've given us life. And you've given us a home, Father, for eternity. And we're so grateful and thankful for that. I do pray that as we go through things down here on this earth, that you would help us to not let them get to us, Father, any more than absolutely necessary. I pray that you'd help us to navigate those things. And remember, in the midst of it all, you commanded a bunch of these people to be of good cheer, even in the face of some pretty horrific circumstances. And Father, we ought to follow that same pattern. So I just ask you to help us and bless us that way. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand, folks. We'll sing number 207. Number 207. Before we close down here tonight. Amen. Amen. All right, Brother Jason Sadek, can you close us in a word of prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, thank you for allowing us to be able to gather here tonight, for giving us freedom to be able to worship you and lift our prayers up to thee. Take the prayers that were requested and the ones that weren't, answer them according to your will. I pray that you just remember the folks in Romania.
Yeah, amen.
Just continue to go before them and be with them, to have a good time and get a lot of traction down to Romans. I pray that these people get saved. And thank you for all that you do for us. I pray you get the Stevens back safely on Sunday. Maybe give us a good rest of the week. Just make a night.
Amen. All right, folks, you dismissed.